you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. I want to continue the series on destiny. We really need to find our destiny. One of the biggest problems we got most church folks is you ain't got a clue where you're going. You don't know where you've been. You ain't figured out how you got there. You're in what's called a rut, which means you got a grave with both ends kicked out and you're just trying to survive in it. If you get a destiny, then you know where you're going. You got an idea how you're going to get there. And when you get there, you realize, man, this was great. Glory. Hello. Somebody said, well, I'm not called to preach. Everybody who sells out to God has a destiny. Amen. My destiny just happened to be a preacher. Your destiny, God's got something set out there for you. And if you ever get in the center of God's will, you'll be one of the happiest people on the face of this earth. Come on, church. Amen. Well, I'm not going to have no more problems. No, I'm not one of them TV preachers to tell you how no more problems, no more troubles, no more trials, because the Bible doesn't say that. It said all things visited on the world will be visited on the saints. Many of the afflictions of the saints of the Most High God. So we're not going to get in a place where we're not going to have problems. We're not going to have troubles. All we understand is everything we go through, we're going through because God said it before us, because he's working on us. Amen. I guarantee you, if you called Joseph, he'd tell you he'd just soon not been thrown in a pit by his brothers. He would probably just as soon not been sold into slavery. And I bet you he would have loved not going to prison. But when it all was over with, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, because God put me here, because he made a promise to my dad he'd feed him, and there was a big drought coming, and he needed me here over the food so I could feed my dad. Glory. Hello. Oh, some of y'all look at me like y'all ain't never read that story. I'm going to leave it alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through the glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you today, God, for your mercy, for your power, for your grace. I believe you to touch us this morning and make us to sit in heavenly places with you. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand and say, hey, I'm fixing to knock some stuff down today. Glory. Paul said, when I was a child, I acted like a child, I did things like a child, I thought like a child, I conceived and perceived things as a child. But now that I'm older, I'm mature, I don't look at everything the same way. And even though one time I saw God through a glass darkly, now that I'm face to face with him, I've got a better view. And I might not understand completely right now, but it's coming. And he said, now I understand that in my life abides faith, hope, and love that's going to pull me through everything that's going to happen in my life. And church, we need to understand there was a time as a child, as a Christian, I stumbled and I walked and I didn't do good. But God began to lift me up and I got closer to him. And now I'm still one of his children, but I have matured in him enough that I don't stumble and fall over the very things I stumbled and fell over when I started, because I understand God's got a destiny for me. Amen. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Some of you been saved 20 years. You still fighting the same demons because you ain't never won the fight. You keep battling the same troubles because you won't ever put it aside. It's time some of you woke up and said, I'm getting the barriers that are in the way of my destiny, and I'm pushing them out of the way so I can walk in the presence and the power and the glory of God in my life. You say, well, preacher, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be a preacher. Wouldn't you like to be able to get up in the morning and know that you know that you know that you're doing what God wants you to do, and because of that, God's going to bless you for it. When I got where God wanted me to be, I began to live and begin to live the life God wanted me to live. I suddenly realized that everything that had happened to me in my life did so to bring me to the point he had me at. Boy, as a young Christian, I didn't know why I went through all the stuff I went through, but he was designing me and building me to be who I am right now. Amen. It took 40 years. But look, it took him 40 years to get Moses out of the basket so he could make a leader out of him. Took him 40 more years to teach him how to shovel dung behind the sheep before it could get him over there in the furnace and finally turn him loose and send him back to lead the people out. Then it took him 40 years for the guy to take a two-week trip through the wilderness with the folks. Hello? It is actually a two-week trip from Egypt back to Israel. It took them 40 years. And as Golda Meir said one time, she'd been interviewed, she said, "We're not that smart. We stopped at the only place ain't got no oil." Glory. But church, it was where God wanted him to be. But it took 40 years to get him there. But if you went and talked to Moses, he'd tell you, "Everything I went through in the desert designed me to be the man I was when I led those people out of Egypt. Everything I was when I was coming up was teaching me how to be a leader. Everything I learned in the desert teaching me what I need to do to lead the people through the desert." And church, if we go back and look, everybody that's ever gone through anything through God has done so because God was molding them and making them and shaping them to fulfill a destiny that he had for their life. And some of us needs to learn that God has a thing for us. There is something every one of us can do, and we need to find out what that is. And when we do, we'll quit pushing against the wall and beating our head against a rock, and we'll find life is much easier when we're walking in the presence and the power of Almighty God. Say, "Preacher, I don't want to go through nothing. I've learned more from the fires of my life than I ever learned from the blessings." I guarantee you, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not want to go in that furnace. But when they came out, they was a lot smarter when they got out than they was when they went in. Come on, church. Some of y'all, what you talking about? See, when they went in the furnace, they believed God would let them get burned. When they came out, they knew. Oh, when you get a hold of somebody that knows. See, some of y'all believe God will bless you, but if you ever really get blessed just right, you're going to know he can. Then the devil can't trick you no more. He can't tell you, "Oh, it's not going to happen. It's not coming through," because you'd be sitting there going, "Yeah, you said that last time, and I blew you off." Glory. Come on, church. You say, "Now, preacher, you're crazy. You're going to get the devil mad." I could care less how mad he gets. Some of y'all need to wake up. Y'all don't know who your God is, and that's why you got a problem. Your God's the great God, the most powerful God that ever existed. Listen, Romans tells me, and we know that all things, Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, or love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. What's he talking about? To those that find their destiny, we begin to realize everything I've done has brought me where I am to make me who I am. Amen. Come on, church. "Well, preacher, I didn't like some of it. There's a lot of stuff in my life I didn't like. But everything that I was is what made me who I am right now. Everything I went through is what designed me like God wanted me to be. When I sold out to him and I began to live for him, everything I gave up was worth everything I have now." Come on, church. I had a lot of people talk about, "Boy, I wished I hadn't done that." I got news for you, honey. There's a lot of things I wished I'd done different. But at the same time, when I look back over my life, I realize everything I've been through has made me who I am, brought me where I am, and taught me the things I know about God. And the one thing I understand is as long as I serve him, there's not a mountain too high, there's not an ocean too wide, there's not a storm too great that my God cannot bring me through with the power of his divine love. Destiny. Somebody's preordained future. That's what destiny means in the dictionary. Second definition, inner realizable purpose of life. You ever really realize what your purpose in life? I remember when God called me to preach, I walked around for days going, "What in the world do you want with me? I mean, there's other guys that's better at this." I mean, let's face it, church. I messed up some of my early sermons so bad, it's a wonder they let me keep preaching. Y'all look at me like, "Hey, I was dumb as a rock, and I started preaching." I had somebody tell me a joke, and I missed it because I thought it was true. They want to know how many animals Moses put on the ark, and I was trying to figure it out. Then they go, "Moses didn't have an ark." I said, "Really?" Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't know. Worked for them. Then they messed around and told me it's two of every kind, and I called them a lie. Because while I was looking, I found out who had the ark, and also found out Moses put 14 clean and 4 unclean. Oh, I just shocked some of y'all because y'all been on that all your life. Oh, no, it's two of every kind. It ain't in your Bible. Read the seventh chapter of Genesis. He took seven pair of the clean, two pair of the unclean. That's 14 and 4. If you're going to argue with me, get it right. Glory. Man, I was preaching one night at Cochran. I preached a sermon. One that actually got me hired at Northport as an associate. Of course, I was hired because he figured I was a bad enough trouble he could help me. My wife's back there going. I preached 1 hour and 45 minutes. And there's a reason for that. I memorized 125 scriptures and I had to get them all in before I could quit. Glory. That's why Brother Hall said preach is like drilling for oil. If you ain't hit something in a few minutes, stop boring. Glory. That's for you young preachers. Glory. Then I preached a message, and y'all heard me talk about this, about the train of God, and I had a great time. I preached at several places. And then finally somebody had the audacity to tell me that was a tail of a garment, not a train on a track. Messed up my whole sermon. Glory. I preached sermons with the wrong guy under the tree. I've preached sermons with the wrong guy in the whale. I had Joshua in that whale, and he's having a big time. He was doing all kinds of stuff in that whale. I actually figured it out finally when I looked down. My wife's holding up a card going, Jonah. I turned around and I said, he rode that thing around Jericho 13 times and the walls fell. Glory. And that wouldn't have been so bad, but some dude in the back jumped up and said, I believe it just like that preacher. And I mean, I just turned it over to Brother Howe and said, you kill it. I've done died with it. Glory. But the reality is God brought me here because he made me do those things so I would improve myself. He made me realize if you're going to be worth it, then you've got to pay a price to be there. And if you're not willing to pay a price to be as good as you possibly can be, why do you bother to do what you're doing? Come on, church. Smile at me. Some of y'all didn't like that. But if you're a carpenter, you ought to want to be the best carpenter out there. And if you don't, you ought to quit the job and go find something else. Because God designed you to be the best you can at whatever you're doing. And if you don't want to be the best, why fool with it? I'm not going to waste my time doing something if I'm not willing to pay the price to be the best I can at it. That's why I read. That's why I study. That's why I pray. That's why I dig. Because I want God to use me in a destiny I believe God's put me in. Could you say amen? Say, well, preacher, do you believe that? Listen, Psalms 37:23, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. If I'm trying, God understands. I may not get it right the first time, but he'll keep helping me till I do. Come on, church. Amen. I've preached almost 9,000 sermons, and I'm still possible to make up some words or say something that's not right. I find out about it as soon as church's over with. Hello? But that's just me. Some of y'all don't even catch the words I make up. Y'all think, well, that's a word? I got some of y'all convinced that the English language is a lot bigger than it really is. Smile. I was preaching at a church in New York one time. The pastor walked up, tapped me on the shoulder, said, Brother Ken. I said, yes, sir. He said, I hate to bother you in your sermon, but you got to explain that last thing you said. We don't have a clue what you're talking about. Of course, that's the same guy that said I needed an interpreter because they spoke English. Glory. You say, preacher, do you really believe God wants us to get in a place? Listen, God wants us to get us to the place where we quit worried about everybody else. You ever notice we got so many people trying to keep up with the Joneses, the Smiths, has caught them? I'm sorry, David. He's moving up in the world, glory. Smile. But we got people trying to keep up with everybody else, trying to compare themselves with everybody else. Do you understand that you're not supposed to be like anybody else? You are unique. You are who you are, and you're the only one that is you, and you're the only one that can do what God's got set for you to do. The chances of you being you are 335 billion to one. That means you're not an accident. I don't care how you got here. You're not an accident. God made you and created you just like you are, built you like you are. He has a purpose for you, and we need to find that design and quit worrying about everything else. You say, preacher, you sure? Listen to what David said, Psalm 37. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they'll wither like the green herb. But he said, trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself in also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Commit thy way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass, and he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light, thy judgment in the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because the man who bringeth wicked devices, it will pass. So what are you talking about? He said, trust in God. Quit worrying about everybody else. Quit worrying what everybody else is doing. Can I tell you, church, I'm not Kevin Wallace, and I don't pastor Redemption Point, and it's not God's destiny for me to be there. If it was, I'd be there. I'm at Alabaster. This is my destiny, and this is where God wants me to be, and I'm not worried about what they're doing at Redemption Point. I don't care what they're doing at Summerton, Alabama. All I'm worried about is finding the destiny for this church and moving us into it and letting God move and save the souls he'll save and heal the people he'll heal and move like, oh, come on, church. Some of y'all said, no, preacher, no. I'm not compared to anybody else. I don't want to be anybody else. I have a friend pastor the church. He kept getting notes under his door. If we had a preacher like Rod Parsley, we could grow like Rod Parsley. I mean, somebody kept sliding out under his door every week. If we had a preacher like John Hagee, we could have a church like John Hagee. Finally, one week he got up in his pulpit and he said, if I had a choir like they got over there at John Hagee's church, or a choir like they have over at Rod Parsley's, I could preach like them. And if I had pastors, council members that was as dedicated as theirs was, and if I had church people that would pay their tithe, come to church like theirs did, we could have that kind of church. But as long as I ain't there, I'm here, I'm just here. Hallelujah. Come on, church. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I don't want to be Rod Parsley. I want to be Ken Stroop. I'm here. I'm who and what God called me to do, and that's all I'm after. And you need to wake up your mind. I don't want to be somebody else, but I want to be all I can be in the presence of God of who I am. There must be a process to take us where God wants us. It's not our own process. Job chapter 18, the steps of his strength shall be strained, and his own counsel shall cast him down, for he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walketh upon a snare. Hear what he's saying? He said, if I try to do it myself, I'm going to mess up every time. That's why you don't make decisions without praying. You don't buy cars unless you pray about it. Don't get married until you've talked to God about it several times. And then fast. Glory. The snare is laid for him in the ground, and the trap for him in a way. Terror shall make him afraid on every side, and he shall drive him to his feet. His strength shall be hunger bitten, and destruction shall be ready at his side. He shall devour the strength of his skin, even the firstborn dead devour his strength. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the kings of terror. Huh? Job said, if I rely on myself, I've got nothing going for me. I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall apart. Hey, church, I want y'all to get this picture. The man that wrote this has already had everything he owns took away from him. His kids are dead. His money's been taken. His animals are gone. His wife's telling him to curse God and die. His friends are trying to figure out what he's done. His body is eat up with all kind of disease. He's sitting on ashes, scraping his body, popping open the boils so they'll drain to get the pain away. And all of a sudden, he's sitting there going, and I've done all this to myself because I tried to do it myself. But you know what? He turned around and he said, hey, Lord, where are you? I look on the right.
right, I don't see you. I look on the left, I don't see you. I look in front of me, you're not there. I look behind me, you're not there. And about that time, God said, but I will still touch you. And all of a sudden, Job stands up, looks at his buddy and said, hey, I'm not giving up. There is still a God that can give a song in the midnight hour. And I'm going to tell you something. Even though the skin worms may eat this body, I'm still going to praise him, because I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know I'm going to stand before him in the latter day. What happened to Job? He realized, my destiny is not to sit in an ash pile. My destiny is to serve God, and God's going to restore to me, and God's going to give to me. And because of that, he had twice as much in the end that he had in the beginning, because he understood, my destiny is to serve God. Some of you need to wake up. You're the cause of your problem. If you get it out of you, God will begin to lift up the bell that is... Listen, if you don't go through the process to get something, you'll never have the power to hang on to it. Hello? If you will lack the knowledge and the tenacity to hang on to anything, but if you don't earn it, you don't own it. I don't know why some of y'all ain't shouting like you was a while ago. I know this ain't Granny's favorite song, but some of y'all ought to be going, hey, if I own it, it's because I earned it. Nothing worse than something good that doesn't fit. You ever seen you go buy something, you go, oh, man, this is great, it's on sale. If it don't fit, how great is it? Glory. Hello? I mean, if I went down and bought me a Yugo, it wouldn't matter what kind of price I got on it. Man, it ain't going to fit. Come on, church. Y'all missed that. I owned a Toyota one time. Everybody told me I just had to buy it by a certain size. It was one of those Toyota Starlets. Somebody asked me, what kind of car is that? And I said, it's a size 52 regular. Glory. I never forget, I was in it one day with Eddie Brand. We got out of the car. Some woman walked up to us, and there we was standing there going, that's a strong little old car. I thought he knew the woman. He'd never met her before. We're walking into Walmart, and she's talking about that car. That's a strong little old car. You got to understand something. Before Eddie had his heart attack, he went over 300. And at the time, I was weighing about 300. And we piled out that little old car, and it looked like we ought to have been toting it instead of it carrying us. And she was going, that's a strong little old car. I got inside. I said, do you know her? He said, I've never seen her before. Amen. But the reality is, church, we've got to get rid of our barriers. What's a barrier? It's a structure blocking access, structures such as a fence that keeps you out from where you want to be. Something that obstructs or separates. A lot of barriers that are keeping you from your destiny are inside you. Christ has given us power to remove the barriers that hinder us. Sometimes the things that hinder us are just there to perfect us. Success is not determined by what you have, but by finding the place you belong and becoming the person God wants you to be. I don't have to have the largest church or be on top. What I got to do is understand what Jeremiah said. For I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, that I could bring you to an expected end. Did you hear that? God said, I've got a destiny for you. And my thoughts for you is that I'm going to get you there. They're not for evil. They're not something that's going to cause you a problem. You may go through a fire, but I'll be with you when you go through the fire. You may have to go to a lion's den, but I'll get there before you show up, and I'll take care of the lions. You may have to go through all kinds of things, but you know what? I'm going to be with you. Amen. Notice the next verse. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me in your heart. If I search for God with all my heart, I'm going to find him. If I'm looking for him just because I got a problem today and I'm going to forget him tomorrow, he might always show up. Somebody said, preacher, that's crazy. No, it's not. How many of you are parents? If your kids keep running up to you begging for stuff, don't you get a little tired of it? Huh? I told this story here before, but I remember my brother pulled up one time out there in Buell, and he wheeled up by the barn. We knew it was him. We rednecks. We heard the truck long before we got there, because it sounded worse than any log truck you ever heard. He come piling in down there, and Dad's up in the attic throwing hay down to me, and all of a sudden he said, "That's your brother?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm not here. He just wants something." I said, "Dad, I can't lie. I'm a preacher." He said, "Use wisdom, boy." He dove over behind some stuff. My brother come in. He said, "Dad, here." I said, "You see?" He said, "No, tell him I need the bar." And he named off something he wanted. He got in the truck and left. My dad jumps down after he leaves. He said, "He never comes over here. He don't want something. I've got to where I just as soon he not show up." Glory. Come on, church. Can you imagine God? You down there praying, needing something, and he's down behind the throne telling the 420 elders, "I'm not here." Oh, we can't lie. We're creatures. Well, use wisdom. Listen, church, if God manufactured you and created you like the Bible said, he already knows when you're working at full capacity and when you ain't. You take somebody designs a car, they'll know if that car's running right or not just by listening to it. And they can tune in. I got a brother-in-law who works on race cars. I've seen him tune race cars with his ear. Never check anything, get through it, and I'll be dead on specs. But he said, "Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. And you look at it, and it's just like it's supposed to be, because he was that good. He was so good one time we were revving up a motor, and I forgot and let the clutch out a little bit, and I went into his living room. I helped him remodel the front wall. Glory. Amen. He lives in Louisiana for a while. He just looked like everybody on the block. Glory. Smile. Amen. But listen, most people are trying to earn God's favor. Do you not understand? You don't have to earn God's favor. God loves you. You don't have to do something to make him happy with you. Come on, church. You spend all your life trying to make God love you when the whole time he's going, "I love you." More than anything else, he loves you. He cares about what's going on in your life, but you're still trying to earn his love. You're still trying to listen. All you got to do is sell out to him and do whatever he says, and then he's going to bother. Listen, as long as I minded my mom and dad, I didn't get in trouble. I just had a little problem with minding. But I learned. I knew that if my dad said, "Kenneth Anthony," I was gone. There wasn't no getting off on good behavior. I was finna get tore up. Smile. Some of y'all are like, "What's this got to do with me?" God loves you. You don't have to earn his favor. You ain't got to be a special child. You just got to be who he wants you to be, the way he wants you to be it. You don't have to have the biggest or the most or the wonderfulest. You just got to be you and do you like you are. Come on, church. Y'all may not understand this. I got two kids. They totally different. I used to tell people, I got this one kid and this other kid. And I'm going to let them figure this one out. Watch them. They're both looking at each other. Seriously, I got two kids. They're mine. I've not always been proud of them. I've not always been happy with them. But they're my kids. And they don't have to do a thing to make me love them. They're my kids and I love them. And I want to tell you something, church. I'm his. I don't have to do a thing to make him love me. He may not be happy with me. He may be disgusted with me. There may have been times he's thrown his hands up, but I'm still his child. And as long as I walk back in the house saying, "I love you," he's going to love. Oh, come on, church. We got to find that place in God. Well, preacher, I got evil thoughts. Those are not of God, I promise you. I had to realize it when I got mad at folks wanting to kill them. God wasn't the one inspiring me to do that. Glory. Some of y'all look like, "Preacher, I got two kids still alive because I realized that wasn't coming from God." Glory. Listen to Matthew, and I got to hurry, but I want to get through with this. I'm probably not, but I want to go through it. The Bible said when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist. some Elias, others Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Can I have another 5 minutes? I'm taking it anyway. I just thought I'd ask. Go ahead and answer it. It might be God. Hello? Boy, if it was, you'd really have a problem. I can hear him right now. Listen to him. He's talking to you. Smile, church. Listen, I got to get to this point. We got to carry on the barriers. Notice what he said. I'm going to give you keys. What are keys for? To unlock gates. I'm going to give you the keys you need to walk through my kingdom. I'm going to give you keys you need to make it in my kingdom. Do you know the Bible tells us 3 different times we got access? Amen. Why do I have access? Through Jesus Christ, the key to the kingdom. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Amen. Listen, we must first come to terms with who God is. And this is what I want to get to. I'm going to stop at this. We have to come to terms with who God is. Psalms 24 said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and lift up ye everlasting doors, for the King of glory shall come in. But who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Finally, the psalmist tells you who you are. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts is the King of glory. Peace. This is something we've got to do within ourselves. You can't depend on my relationship with God to figure out who God is. You got to know who God is for you. We've got people that serve a God hanging on a cross, and once a year they get excited because Easter comes around. Crucified. And once a year we get real excited about a little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and laying in a manger. And the problem is there are people that still perceive him to be that little baby. Or that man hanging on a cross. He's neither of those anymore. He was that at one time. But my Bible tells me, he said, I am he that was dead. Yet now I am alive. And I am alive forevermore. And I have all power, which is in heaven and in earth, and of things that are under the earth. Oh, preacher, you don't know the devils I'm facing. You don't know the God I'm serving. And when you find out who he is, and you realize what he can do, then you realize greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I have nothing to fear of what's in this world, because my God is a great God Almighty who lives forever and forever and forever. And if I die in this world, I'm still going to live in him, because my essence will never disappear as long as God is on me. Glory. Well, preacher, I'm not real sure that it's that necessary. When Jesus stood before Pilate, Pilate said, they say you're a king. Jesus said, well, now, are you saying that of yourself, or you just tell me what you heard? He said, well, I want to know, are you a king? He said, well, for that cause I came into the world. For that cause I came here. I came to be obedient and to bring the truth. Pilate looks at him and says, okay, this guy ain't lying to me. He's a king of some kind. He walks back outside, so I'm washing my hands of this deal. I'm not going to have nothing else to do with this man's death. But the truth of the matter is, I wonder sometime if God's not asking you, do you really know who I am? Are you just reading what you read in a book or heard somebody sing a song about or some preacher preach about? Who am I in your life? It's one thing for him to be the Lord of the world. It's one thing for him to be the King of the world. But have you crowned him in your heart? Have you set him up on your throne? Have you gave him everything in your life, not holding back anything? Because when you do, that's when you're going to really know who he is. You're going to know he is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're going to know that he rides on the wings of the wind and the clouds have become his chariot. You're going to know that the water washes in the very hollow of his hand, that he's heaped up the mountains and scooped out the valleys. He gave the birds song to sing and he put the cows on the side of a hill and he owns every one of them. You're going to know that he is a God who can speak peace when there's nothing but storm around. You're going to know he's a God that holds you in his hand and said, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow I hold in my hand also. And if you believe in me and trust in me, all things are possible unto them. Stay with me all over the house. If we can remove the barriers in ourselves, our destiny will be real. Some of you are so busy trying to map out your own life, you ain't got a clue where you really need to be. But if you get those barriers out of the way, I've learned since I've gotten a hold of OnStar that you can't get lost. I've been places where I didn't have a clue where I was. Hit that button and say, would you please get me where I need to be? They drive me right to it. You say, what's that got to do with anything? In this world, it's easy for me to get off track. It's easy for me to head down the wrong road or do something I'm not supposed to do that would keep me from fulfilling the destiny God has for my life. But if I hang on to his own star system, he can take me through the smallest pinnacle to where he wants me to be. Brother David Smith sent me a video. I showed it to several people. Granted, the man's a little brain dead that did it. But he jumped off a plane from 9,000 feet with no parachute. He had a magnetic global positioning thing on his belly so it would help him move to the left or right. He fell 9,000 feet and passed through a 3-foot by 5-foot hole into a building. Landed on a trampoline specially made and lived. I saw him get up and walk away from it and I'm like, But he put his faith in that position in capital to put him where he needed to be, that from 9,000 feet he passed through a hole no bigger than that. And he made it. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? I've got a God a lot better than any global positioning thing. I don't have to worry about the batteries going dead. I don't have to worry about the satellite shutting down. I've got a God that never sleeps. He never slumbers. He's online 24/7. And if my battery goes dead, he'll just reach down and take me by the hand, put me where he wants me to be, because he's my God. And I believe there's some people under the sound of my voice, one of the biggest problems you got in your life, you've never settled in yourself who God really is in your life. The greatest barrier to you ever finding your destiny is you still trying to live off some religious premise you have of God. And therefore, you never really know who God is when things go wrong. When a doctor tells you there's something messed up, you get all beside yourself. And I understand that. We're human. But if we really where we need to be with God, we always come back to the place that, hey, in him I live. In him I move. In him I have my being. And by him, I'm going to make it. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. God, you said it's not by might, nor by power. By thy spirit, saith God. God, touch us with your anointing.